excitement for Robocop at the age of 6 when I saw John Ford's Jetplane Crusader on stock from Loch Ness in 1992. 20 years later, I built my first jet car, Thrust One, a very, very basic low-cost airplane, consisting of not much more than a truck chassis and a Rolls-Royce Doe and HF engine with a mixture of fighter. Thrust One crashed with RAF Delta in 1974, and we learned a very important lesson. Thrust Two was designed by John Ackroyd and built by a small team in the Berkshire, wouldn't really come down to light. The car features a special steel semi-monocoque space frame with an aluminum body. The power unit is a 35,000 horsepower Rolls-Royce Hayland 302 from a Lightning F6 fighter. Four-ton car's performance, even by today's standards, is awesome. Thrust 2 will do 0 to 140 in 3 seconds, has a top speed of 615, and under braking from deceleration, it peaks at 6G. That means producing 130 miles an hour for every second. It can travel from London to Coventry in 9 minutes, and it can out-accelerate any known jet fighter. By 1980, Thrust 2 and I held a pretty handsome program for a mile. Whilst the speed seems a bit on the low side, you see the only place available for record is the 2 mile runway at Green Common. And it meant holding over 250 miles an hour for a mile, which is then rather less than half a mile for stopping. The Thrust 2 would usually stop 12 foot from the end of the runway. Now in September 1981, Thrust 2 and the team went to the Pentagon Bottom and Salt Flats in Utah, USA. We were using solid, tarless wheels for the first time with very hard salt, and I found the handling very nevertheless, we eventually peaked by 500 miles an hour with an audited attempt speed of 418, slightly faster than the latest and the late Don Cannon Cruiser, which is 403 miles an hour. Faster runs were planned the next day, and the weather unfortunately had other ideas. Rain flooded the salt flats, and the team had to go home and claim all the weather insurance. Now, the insurance company needed a bit of hefty persuasion before it could venture to pay, but that got the team back to work on again in 1982. As soon as we arrived, unfortunately, it rained and of course it was flooded, and this meant the insurance could be activated yet again. But the team were very determined, and the Black Rock Desert, a huge brown upright fire, is found in Nevada, 280 miles to the west. There were huge problems in getting permission to run on the Black Rock, and winter was approaching, so the team pushed on hard, and Thrust 2 eventually made 650 miles an hour on that course. It's quite clear that this is the fastest Thrust 2 would run. Home again, the sponsors came by the insurance company. Back to the Black Rock again in 1983, it's quite clear that this was going to be the last time. Quickly, the car reached 620 miles an hour, but then it simply didn't seem to want to go any faster. Rolls-Royce had made more of it, and he sent a specialist to part of the problem by accelerating the engine to part of the engine. John Ackroyd decided that another problem was a transonic drag, so he decided to run the car to the hottest part of the day. The transonic drag leads him at a much, much higher speed. So at 3:27 p.m. on October 4th, 1983, Thrust 2 and I powered our way through the two-way average of 633 by forcing him half an hour. And on the best one, Thrust 2 reached its design speed of 650 half an hour. The Thrust 2 project wasn't an easy program. It took 9 years to do it, involved 225 British companies. Thrust 2 and I exceeded 600 miles an hour 11 times in the process. It wasn't until later on the 4th of October that car data showed that Thrust 2 would be within 7 miles an hour. Thrust 2 had exceeded the existing mile record by 11 miles an hour and was now the fastest car in the world. He actually held the world land speed record. The Thrust 2 world record remained unbeaten for 14 years, and the car hopes to take on the land speed record was to be another from our famous Thrust table. Now go through the doors of the rear of Thrust 2 and go and see the iconic and world-famous 110,000 horsepower Thrust SSC.
SSC supersonic car, the successor to Thrust 2. We set the first supersonic land speed record 7. It's a world first, but could never have been done without Richard Noble and his team. 9 years after the Thrust 2 record, Richard was up against it, with the Spirit of America team and McLaren F1 team, both after his record with supersonic challenges, and both with big budgets. But Richard held the winning car, the remarkable aerodynamicist Ron Ayres, and together they came up with a radical design. Thrust SSC would have not one, but two Rolls-Royce Spey engines for stability. With no space for front-wheel steering, mechanical designer Glyn Bowshed had to develop a unique solution to steer the rear wheels. With early funds from Castrol, Ron developed the aerodynamics on a Cray computer at Swansea University. He proved the results with rocket-powered models on the long test track at Pendine, where the model would accelerate from zero to an astonishing 820 miles an hour in 0.8 of a second. Meanwhile, Glyn got to work on the rear-wheel steer, borrowing his brother-in-law's old Mini as the unique test vehicle that you'll see in just a minute. The computer-controlled suspension had to be designed to cope with the huge changes of aerodynamic load to guarantee keeping the car on the ground, right up to and beyond. The car designer, Jeremy Bliss, designed the incredible systems engineering to manage all of this. The problem now was finding sponsors. Richard realized that he would have to devote his time to managing the project and making the money, and invited the media to find a driver for Thrust SSC. I read about it in the Sunday papers, was one of the first to apply, and here I am. Making the money, though, was still a tremendous problem. The team needing £50,000 a month, every month for 27 months, just to build the car. No major sponsor. They formed the Mach 1 Supporters Club, which quickly grew to around 5,000 people, who funded an amazing 20% of the project, which is why the Mach 1 Club logo sits in prime place on Thrust SSC's nose. At the same time, we started an enormous 800-page website, run by Jeremy Davey, who was the first to achieve end-to-end electronic trading in Great Britain. And as a unique global promotion, it peaked to 3.5 million pages per day, and over the course of 1997 to 59 million hits. To test Thrust SSC, the team took the car out to the Al Jaffa Desert in Jordan, and it was a disaster. We only made 4 runs, we developed problems with the rear wheel steering, the rains came, the desert flooded, and the team had to come home defeated. At the same time, the Spirit of America team was having problems when their car tipped onto its side in the world's fastest crash at 675 miles an hour. Back in Britain, Richard and the SSC team still had real problems with the sponsors, but the Mach 1 Club people kept buying the merchandise, bless them, kept the project alive. Then, with the VTR Group as a new sponsor, the project was able to return to Jordan in early 97 to test the car again, this time getting up to 540 miles an hour. And then we knew we had everything in place to go to the Black Rock Desert that summer for our attempt at the supersonic record. Everything, that is, except the money. Richard had to make £600,000 in 2 months, £10,000 a day. The heavy lift airline offered the team the loan of the world's largest commercial cargo airplane, the Antonov 124, to fly 100 tons of equipment straight to Reno in Nevada, but we needed to find 250,000 gallons of fuel. With the oil companies refusing to help, the opportunity to fund was offered on the Thrust SSC website. Amazingly, all over the world, people sent in money to help buy up to 30,000 gallons of fuel per day. Having sorted the fuel in the aircraft, there was one last miracle, which was produced by the Daily Telegraph. It gave us a 5-page supplement to the main newspaper, with readers sending in up to £15,000 a day for the budget. Now, we can go to America. So by autumn 1997, there was only one barrier left, the sound barrier. And on the 15th of October, we smashed through that at an average speed of 763 miles an hour. Richard had started the supersonic dream, which had become the personal dream of a very large number of people. The SSC team, 231 companies who helped and supported us, 5,000 Mach 1 Club members, millions of internet followers all over the world. Together we broke the sound barrier on land for the first time. A record that will stand forever, because it is a world first. So now please, go through the doors at the end of this room to see the mini test rig, have a look at one of our Rolls-Royce Spey engines, and the pit station from which all the desert runs were controlled. And then join me at the Thrust SSC simulator for a supersonic ride.